This is a Federal News Network podcast.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars sponsored by WEPA. Join NITP for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to the May 17th, 2021 For Your Benefit radio show. Powerhouse show today. We have joining us co-host Tammy Flanagan, Senior Benefit Director at NITP, probably more so known for a GovExec columnist and a company called, is it called Retire Fed, Tammy?
Retire Federal, yep.
Okay, we'll talk more about that in a bit. And Mike Causey, senior correspondent in Federal News Radio. We've known Mike for as long as I think I've been around, and Tammy the same way.
We knew Tammy when she was in grade school.
I'm not so sure about that.
And Mike, we thank you for our early stages and getting over stage fright on the radio and being a great guest more often than not. So what a show. I'm just going to listen to I'll throw out a question, and then we'll jump right into it. So if we are looking at the current situation with the pandemic, how have you found your groups when you talk to them, Tammy, and, of course, your emails that you get, Mike? Do you get much to that point?
I'll go first because surprisingly, no. I mean, the only thing I hear about the pandemic related to retirement planning is just wondering about any delays caused by the telework situation or just like the paperwork backup. But I find that people are still retiring just like they did before. I do find that some folks last year, because they couldn't really use much vacation time and they were able to carry over extra leave into 2021, there have been a lot of people who have delayed their plans, but now they're starting to get back into deciding to set that retirement date perhaps for this year. So it might be a very busy year for retirements, I think.
I think the same with me. I can't remember any. There's some gloom and doomers out there about on any subject. But by and large, it's almost as if the pandemic wasn't happening. It wasn't an event. And I have to sort of ask people to comment on what are you doing? Are your spirits up, down? What do you think is the future of teleworking, working from home? But people seem to be taking this and certainly in reacting with us in stride.
I get it the other way. How long will my money last?
Oh,
and am I going to have to pay tax when I retire? Believe it or not, I get questions like that. But their concern was, you know, if they have X dollars in collective sources at retirement, how hard is it going to get hit? Well, they don't all get hit at the same amount.
Yeah.
And we all talk about a tax bracket that we might be in, but we go through lower brackets to get there. And kind of surprised, a fair number of people aren't aware of that it's just a number that comes out of a computer, et cetera. But by and large, they're not unhappy with it. They just don't want to be caught shy with cash flow.
People seem to know a little bit more than they used to about the whole retirements thing, and I credit that to you and people like and Tammy. Tammy was on my show a couple of weeks back, and she emphasized again the importance of delaying taking your Social Security if you can. And it's just it's like a magic, an explosion. It's such a wonderful thing, and I think a lot of people are just now starting to realize that, and that may go along with the fact that a lot of people seem to be deferring their retirement. They're going to keep getting a salary. They'll be a year older. And then when they look at the Social Security thing, they can maybe decide not to grab it as soon as they can, but wait 4 or 5 years when it'll go up. Tammy, what is the magic number? Is it 70%?
For what?
For delaying your Social Security.
Oh, yeah. So the difference between age 62 and 70 is well over 70% difference. It can be $1,000 a month between how much you get when you're 62 versus how much you get when you're 70, $1,000 a month more. I've seen people now, right now, today, getting $3,500, $4,000 a month in Social Security, which I'm not sure if that's what President Roosevelt had ever thought would happen with Social Security, but it's just amazing that you can maximize that benefit for the rest of your life, then get that bigger check. And I think a lot of people think that, well, like Bob was saying, this longevity risk, but I hear people thinking, well, I'm going to die early, so I'm going to get it while the getting's yeah. good. But you know, we don't know that. And my opinion about that is, well, if I die early, you know what? I don't need money anymore. But if I live a long time, if I make it till I'm 90 or even 100, I don't want to run out of money. So Social Security, as well as our government pension, are two sources of income that last as long as we do and get cost of living adjustments.
Yeah, I think one of the very unscientific but good ways to look at this is check out the obituary section of your hometown newspaper. And if it's extensive, it's good. You'll see many, many people who retired longer than they actually worked. And they, you know, people don't count on that. And you mentioned Franklin Roosevelt and Social Security. I think the concept goes back to Bismarck in Germany. But then when they set it up, the first thing they said was, what's the average life expectancy? And they said, you know, 50. And the guy says, okay, make the benefits start at 60, you know, that kind of thing. And we've changed that dynamic.
How have you both found, when you talk to people, that they don't know X, Y, or Z that would appear to maybe the three of us, and I'm not being pugnacious yeah. with that, but this is what we do for a living. They don't know how it all coordinates.
You know, the good news, bad news, I think, for federal workers is there's so much to know. You know, if you're in the private sector, you may or may not have a 401k. If you do, it's very unlikely the employer will contribute anything to it. There's probably not a pension plan. So there are a lot of moving parts for federal workers that just aren't an issue in the private sector, and you don't hear about them. But things like the five-year rule, which is, I know, one of Tammy's favorites. But if you don't keep your health insurance, if you don't have health insurance for the 5 years prior to retirement, you can't take it into retirement. And when you get a family, a mixed marriage couple, as I say, in D.C., which means he works for the government, she doesn't, or vice versa, the government worker may piggyback on the spouse's private health insurance, and it may be better or it may be less costly. But when you retire, that reverses completely, and the federal retiree, the health insurance for them is the best in the country. And people just don't think about this. So there's a lot of benefits out there, but they don't do you any good if you don't know about them or take a look at them and see how they fit in your life.
Yep. And I was going to add to that. I think that's a great point, Mike, that a lot of people don't know these little rules that are so important to make sure you get the most value out of your benefits. The other thing I noticed that people, it seems like it's a very slow change. You know, we've had FERS, the Federal Employees Retirement System, now for well over 30 years, in fact, pushing on 40 years. Yet I still think the government in general has this mindset that government retirement is a single benefit plan,
yeah.
like the old civil service system was. But I think we're slowly starting to realize that FERS is actually three separate and distinct benefits managed by three separate organizations that you can turn them on at different times. You can take advantage of that flexibility of having these three separate benefits that are each computed differently, that each play a different role in your retirement. So one of the things I try to do with clients that I work with individually is to help them understand how those three parts fit together, yet how you can make the most of each one of them individually. So I think that's been a hard thing to really see that transition, because we were so used to civil service where you just came into government right out of school, you stayed until you were 55 or, you know, maybe a little bit beyond that, and then you retired with that one check that replaced your paycheck. And now there's potentially three checks, and some people have four or five different streams of income in retirement, whether they're retired military or they have, you know, a 401k or an IRA in addition to their TSP account. So it makes it so that you really have more to manage. And as Bob was making the point with taxes, you know, more different tax treatments of these different benefits as well. So you really have to do more tax planning, more financial planning than we had to do before. But I do think that having that different income is really a good thing. I think
it's a good problem. It's a good problem to have, isn't it?
The difference I think
between
yeah.
FERS and CERS, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever get the question, why do I have to pay tax on my annuity?
Not in a long time. But I do get the question, why can people with the health insurance premiums, how can you get a break on it while you're working, but when you're retired, you don't? And people don't understand the concept of that. And it's hard to explain, but it is a fact of life.
Because Congress didn't make the change.
That's right.
They were about to. And I think that's when the 2008 recession started and they gave up on that idea.
Yeah, you don't want to be flippant with people, but the main reason, they're looking for logic, but you're saying the main reason is because Congress ordered it or Congress forbid it.
Yeah, I didn't want to let today go past, Bob, without asking you about tax day. Isn't today the new tax day for 2021?
It is, and there's celebration in the streets.
I'm so glad I didn't know that.
Yeah, there.
I wonder how many people really delayed their filing till today.
Well, a lot, and they can even go beyond that though. So there's a second. The first extension would be there, but they can go all the way out till October 15th.
But they still have to pay it by today, right?
They're supposed to. The mindset is, I don't have the cash. I'll just file an extension. Now, you know, maybe you got no choice there, but the real question is, what's the penalty and interest for? And it's not horrific. It's no bargain, but if you don't have it, what else are you going to do?
You're not going to have it down the road.
You know? Yeah, and you know, maybe they'll get. And I've had people come October 15th and they have to borrow money, and others just. It's kind of like they pull the covers over their head and it'll go away. and then 5 days before the daybreak, you want to do your tax return? Yes. And about the only people that can not file October 15th would be the people offshore, if you will, outside the U.S. They give them a bit more time until December 15th.
So that's an interesting trivia. I like to hear that.
Yeah, we can wow people at lunch today.
That's right. Did you know?
All righty. So if we were looking at how do you know it's time to retire? I remember a quote, and I think both Mike and Tammy will remember the guy was Mike Creed, and he'd go to something, not – what is it?
Oh, you retire to something, not from something.
There you go.
Yeah. That's brilliant. That's really brilliant.
He always had a quip or he had a comment about something to turn it from, like what you just said, Mike, from something negative to positive.
Yeah, we miss our good friend Michael Creedon.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's very true, too. You hear people, I used to hear them when I was young at work, and they'd say they couldn't wait to retire and they were going to hit the beach at Ocean City, if you're of modest means, or Florida, if you're better off. But they don't realize that by the time they're ready to retire, because of the fear of skin cancer and various other things and the way your body looks, you may not want to hit the beach every day or even ever. And it does change. You do need to retire to something rather than from something.
Yeah, that's important to say that. And I think a lot of people think more about what they're leaving behind than what they're retiring to. So I think a lot of people are so comfortable in their position and what they do and their day-to-day routine, their retirement is such a big change that it's scary for some people. So I think there is that mental component to knowing when it's time to retire. That's the hard one. I think the easier one is the financial piece. You know, you can calculate the numbers pretty simply to see how much of your paycheck's going to get replaced with your retirement income. You know, how much tax you have to pay. That's another calculation that someone like Bob could help you with. So I think the financial piece of it is so much easier than going into the unknown. It's the fear of the life after retirement that can be, I think, exciting for some, but then scary for other people.
All righty, Andrew, the ever-efficient engineer, has just said it's time to take a break. So why don't we take a break, and we'll listen to what WEPA can do for our listeners. For those of you who say, who's WEPA? They're the sponsor of the show, but I'll let the spot explain it better.
Over 46,000 feds choose WEPA to be there for their life's biggest moments. Group term life insurance is a smart option if you're looking for coverage that'll help meet your changing needs. At WEPA, eligible employees can apply for up to $1.5 million in life insurance regardless of salary. We also offer other coverage options such as group, short-term disability insurance, or a chronic illness rider. WEPA has been serving civilian federal employees for over 75 years. Get life insurance on your terms. Visit WAEPA.org for more information.
WEPA helps provide coverage today that will protect your tomorrow. Group term life insurance coverage is important to have while building your future. Whether you're saving to buy your first home, starting your first federal job, or beginning a family, establish your WEPA policy now, and you can carry it with you into retirement. WEPA has been ensuring the future of civilian federal employees for more than 75 years. Find coverage that fits your future by visiting WAEPA.org today.
Welcome back to For Your Benefit. We're here today and we're talking about different benefits, opportunities, remembering people that we worked with and the like. But the focus here is benefits and dollars as well. And, of course, joining us is Tammy Flanagan, Senior Benefit Director, NITP, GovExec columnist, and what is it, Retire Fed? Is that the business?
Retire Federal, yep.
Okay.
RetireFederal.com.
All righty. And Mike Causey, Dean of all federal, what do you call it, federal column that provides information to people that would otherwise not know.
That's a little long for a thing. I think it's just the federal columnist. It's not quite the same as it used to be in the newspaper days. You know, I had a thought while we were during the commercial, and we were talking about retiring to something, not retiring from something. And it sounds like a semantic game, but it's very, very serious. And I remember a financial planner one time who said he routinely counseled couples, you know, husband was a Fed, maybe the wife was a Fed, but he brought them both in, which is smart thinking. And he said one of the things that would surprise him is the husband might start talking, and he'd talk about buying a fishing boat in Florida and doing that. And the wife would look around it like she literally never heard it before, because maybe she had never heard it before. You know, this had been his dream, but he just hadn't mentioned it, what he was going to do. But his mantra to couples was, he'd say, he'd tell the non-federal spouse, he'd say, look, when he retires, you're going to have twice the husband and half the income. You know, think about that. So it really is something that you need to be both financially and also mentally prepared for.
Okay, let's talk mentally prepared for the analysis. So, okay, we're going to retire. I suppose the first issue would be what year? And then the second one, within that 12-month period, I won't say it's all over the place, but some would say the sooner the better. Others would say, no, I'm closer to a higher high three or whatever it might be. But what have you found, both of you, that surprised you that they weren't aware of in picking a date?
Well, I think this whole idea of choosing a good date to retire, or the best date, or as Mike has coined the phrase, the magic date, this dates back, what, Mike, over 30 years ago, whenever we first had the conversation. That's how we met. I had just retired from the FBI, I left the FBI because I was going to go work with Bob and NITP. And Mike had called me up, actually faxed me on a fax machine, a request for some information about choosing the best date. And back in those days, it was mostly CSRS employees. So it was pretty easy to pick a best date because you're only talking about one benefit, that civil service retirement. And it was taking about 3 months on average to process a retirement claim. And in those early days, you didn't get anything from OPM until the claim was processed. So the whole idea behind the best date was making sure that you were able to save up enough annual leave hours to cash out a big lump sum payment that would tide you over while you were waiting for that first check. Because, you know, back then we didn't have a TSP account very much. We didn't have Social Security to fall back on. Most everybody was CSRS. And it was pretty easy to pick that best date. Today, there's some guidelines to choosing a date. However, there's a lot more to it because we're picking three dates.
Yeah, and if money is the issue and the primary or the sole issue, then the best date to retire is never. You know,
that's right.
keep working on a full salary as opposed to going into retirement where you maybe get a quarter of that or a half of that.
And marry a very young spouse.
Exactly.
Take advantage of the survivor benefits.
That's right. So, but it's true. And the other thing, we were talking about it earlier, it's the good news, bad news about working for the government. The good news is there are so many benefits and so many ways to look at this. And the bad news is that a lot of people don't do it. But Tammy invented this art form, but finding the magic date, the best date, and it can be considerably more money for someone, particularly if they're going into retirement and they don't have a whole lot of savings. But if you retire at the end of the year for some groups, December 31st, and between January 1st and 3rd for others, you'll get your lump sum annual leave payment. You'll get it. If there's a pay raise in effect at that time, you'll get some or most of that pay raise in your unused annual leave. And you also will roll over into a new tax year. So there are a lot of immediate and pending tax advantages to know when to do it. But for an ordinary person in the private sector, the best day to retire is never.
Yeah. Tammy, I believe you do let's call it a column each year, and you look at the different dates in the year that one might consider. And I believe you say this is the good news here, or this is not the good news.
Right. Yeah, what Mike was saying about the end of the year is definitely true, and we still see. In fact, OPM had told me one time that they get 25% of their year's work load at the end of the year. So I think whatever Mike and I have been saying over the years has really taken hold, because a lot of people will retire that time of the year. And the annual leave lump sum is truly the reason for doing so, because as he said, you know, you can get paid for it in the next tax year. It's computed at your new pay rate. So all of that's true. And this year in particular, December 31st is a Friday. And the end of the leave year for most federal employees is Saturday, January 1st. So whether you're CSRS or FERS, by making your retirement effective Friday, December 31st, you'll retire, close a business on New Year's Eve, so you don't even have to come to work the last day on the job, and your retirement will take effect the next day. So your first retirement payment will be for the full month of January, and you can accumulate 208 hours of leave this year. If you're in the 8-hour category, you may have carried over 240 from last year. So it's possible to cash out 448 hours, which is, in my opinion, a design your own buyout opportunity. But the one thing I wanted to mention about the leave carryover, because a lot of employees were allowed to carry over an extra 25% of what would have otherwise been use or lose leave into this year. That additional leave that the president signed into law right at the end of December last year, that is not going to be part of your lump sum payout. So be sure to use that before you retire. Otherwise, you'll forfeit it.
So yeah, again, the good news is there's so many options that people have. The bad news is if they don't take advantage of them, they could, quote, lose money or lose money for life.
I suppose that both of you get questions from all around the country. And I would imagine there are pockets like D.C., New York, L.A., where there are a lot of feds, and probably the information is in newspapers, et cetera. But what about the outside? The people maybe not in populated areas, maybe they didn't get to go to a retirement seminar. Do you find that there's a knowledge gap?
Well, this year, I think that, or last year, I should say as well, that knowledge gap is closing. I think the pandemic had a silver lining in allowing more people to get virtual training, to be included in seminars. I know, Bob, when I do classes now for NITP, we get people from all over the world, and we're doing them at different times of the day to make sure that we can capture that audience. So I think this has been a great thing about the virtual learning platform, that we can reach those people who can't take time off to come to a class normally, who live someplace where there's not enough employees to hold a class. So that's been great. And I think hopefully people are trying to take advantage of those opportunities to learn more like that.
Well, you know, the other thing too, everybody thinks Washington is the center of the universe as far as the federal government goes, but it's not by any means. And you have cities like Huntsville, Alabama, and Ogden, Utah, that are probably more federal than we are. because a larger percentage of their workforce works for the federal government. So there's pockets of knowledge out there. And I know it, when the Iraq war was going strong and then after the occupation, and even today in Afghanistan, we get a lot of calls from calls and emails from people in Afghanistan and people in Iraq. And they may be CIA, they may be with the military, but they're civilians, and they've got an important job to do, but they also have a career to pursue, and so they do know the questions to ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of the seminars we do broadcast not only locally but for the agency. They'll be overseas.
Yeah,
and there'll be different time zones. And the only thing you know is there's a light at the back of wherever we're talking to say yeah. that these folks are on there. Remember that they're 4 hours difference or 8 hours difference or whatever.
Yeah, I remember conferences in Italy and in Bangkok for American feds who were working in those areas. And we know what some of them were doing, too.
Yeah.
Very interesting people.
Very quiet people.
Anyway, I know that some of the questions I get from people, especially the ones that are kind of new to coming into training opportunities or that have for the first time attended a class, a lot of times they're worried more about getting their money's worth, for lack of a better way of putting it. For instance, this week I had a webinar that I did, and a gentleman asked a question about the FERS supplement. And he said, isn't it better if I retire the day I'm eligible so I can collect the supplement for, a number of years rather than waiting until I'm 62 and retiring, then I don't get the supplement? And to me, it's like, well, wait a minute. Can you afford to retire the day you're eligible? And if you can't, then what else are you going to do? You're going to have to do something to make up for the difference in your loss of income. So I think sometimes we miss the point of making sure we can afford to retire more so than so-called getting our money's worth, because there are a lot of people who will, like you said, Bob, work until they can't work any longer, and they're not going to get much retirement benefit. But it's not all about collecting that benefit. It's about that balance between making sure you're ready to go, making sure you're mentally prepared and financially secure.
Well, there is a certain type of person, a personality trait, and Tammy mentioned it at the beginning of the show, but these people who say, I'm going to take my Social Security early because what if I die and don't get the benefit of it at age 70? Well, then you know what? You're dead. That's what happens. And it's like people who did not buy long-term care insurance, A, they didn't want to think about it, and the premiums were steep, but they were also, quote, afraid that they wouldn't use it. Who wants to be ill? But there are many people, and that's the way they looked at it. What if I don't need it?
What if I don't get my money's worth out of any insurance?
Exactly.
Right? Do we really want that disaster to happen?
Yeah, my house didn't burn down. I paid 20 insurance for 20 years, and it still hasn't burned.
Life is all about managing risk.
Yeah.
So what have you found that somebody didn't know that you felt that they should know, and it was not just – it might be the best day in the year to retire. It might be how to maximize the thrift and how not to and take out of it as soon as you can. Do you ever get somebody with that kind of laser focus?
I get it from people who can't get the idea of the commencing date of their retirement. In other words, if you were to retire, if I'm looking at the calendar this month, for instance, this week is the end of a pay period. So May 21st, somebody might say, I'm going to retire May 21st because it's the end of a pay period or a leave period. I'll accumulate my leave and I'll get my first retirement check in June, which is all true. But my point is I would wait until May 31st because that's six more days of salary you'll get in the month of May. That's another holiday for Memorial Day that you didn't have to come to work and you'd still get paid for. And your retirement will still commence June 1st. So I really try to impress upon people, if you're going to go the 15th or the 21st of the month, why not just wait till the end of the month, get paid your salary for the rest of that month, and then you'll still get your retirement check on the first of the next month, regardless of which day you choose to retire.
I think, too, that Tammy probably gets many more specific questions than I do. A, she's the expert. She's a leader, and people know that. And B, that's the place to go. The thing that I find, I talk to 3, 4, 5, 6 people a year, and they suddenly learn they're about to retire, and they can't retire because they're married, spouse in the private sector. They've been using that spouse's health insurance, so they haven't been in the FEHBP for the 5 years prior to retirement that's required. It's called the five-year rule. They're not aware of it, and I've known a number of people who had to work an extra 2, 3, or 4 years in order to get that five-year total, and that's it seems to me, now that I'm aware of it, it's silly, but there are many people who just don't think about that.
The other thing I thought you were going to say, Mike, is whenever somebody's ready to retire, they realize they have a divorce decree
that says
their ex-spouse is going to get the half of the marital share of their retirement and or the survivor benefit. And they had kind of forgotten about that because the divorce might have been 15 years ago, and they haven't had to pay them any of their retirement until they actually retire. So once they compute what that amount is, I've seen people delay their retirement because they really can't afford it after OPM, you know, apportions out that marital share to the ex-spouse.
That's excellent. Yeah, I did a column, thanks to somebody a couple of weeks back, and it was be sure you retire with the right spouse. You know, make sure you haven't forgotten there's one out there that is going to get all of your benefits.
Yeah, and I have questions about that. I always refer to Dan Jameson. He's like the go-to for federal employees who go through a divorce because he really understands that inside and out, what should go in the divorce decree and how it should be worded. So if somebody has those issues, you can check out the FERSguide.com. That's where you'll find Dan.
And that's I actually read some of it. I'm not a great reader. And talk to him, thanks to you. Very normal, pointed, won't talk your ear off, but he gets the message across.
He's a retired FBI agent. We had him on the show one time, probably 2 years ago, maybe now.
So with regards to questions and the like, if we get away from the thrift for a bit, have you found the basic understanding of the high three and what somebody could maximize? In other words, if they pick a date and we were to come in and say, well, you know, if you push this back 6 months, you'll get this much more in an annuity benefit. Do you find people don't know that? No, that they were picking the best date to retire. Wouldn't it be the date that maximizes your federal benefits?
Well, yeah, but I think in most cases, there's not a whole lot of difference between retiring the end of May, the end of June, the end of July. You know, 1 or 2 months isn't going to make a huge difference. The only time that might not be true is if you're trying to avoid an age-related issue. For instance, let's say that I'm 60 years old and I've got 19 and a half years of service. Well, if I stay until I have 20 years, I'm going to avoid a 10% reduction because I didn't have 20 years at age 60. So why not work another 6 months and avoid a 10% reduction? And then likewise, if I get to that point where I have my 20 years in and I'm 61, why not wait until I'm 62 when the whole benefit gets computed at 10% higher? So the difference between somebody leaving at 60 with 19 and a half years versus 62 with more than 20 years is much greater than what you would think because you're avoiding an age reduction, you're adding a more generous calculation. So I think it does pay for some people to look at these milestone dates or critical dates whenever they have a certain amount of service that's going to bump them up to the next level or to avoid that age penalty. But just, you know, working another month at my current salary or working another month just to have another month of service, you might see a difference of maybe $15 a month, $25 a month for every month that you work, depending on how high your salary is. But, you know, you work 2 months, there's another $30. You work 3 months, there's another $45. And you could go on and on, you know, just never retire, and it's going to keep going up and up and up. So you have to figure out when is it, you know, when can I afford it? When am I ready for this? And I've heard from people who tell me that they just woke up one day and decided, you know, this is it. I am ready to go. And they call me up and say, what's the best date this year? So it's like they just had this revelation that finally they realize, why am I still working? I can afford it. I'd like to do other things. I'm going to go ahead and take advantage of this opportunity that the government has provided.
Can you imagine being somebody who was in that mindset and they retired and February of 2020, and we're going to travel the world, and then the pandemic hits, and they can't go anywhere.
I'll bet it happened to several thousand
yeah.
people.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing, too, I think is I think people can sometimes think too small. It's like a target obsession. But they'll work for whatever reason. They want to get out of town, but they'll work over Christmas or they'll work over New Year's. So they'll get paid for that holiday or something like that. And just to me, that just seems very picayune in the scheme of things, you know.
Go figure.
Yeah.
We got an email, and I'll read the email. I said, one point that has been stressed to me by my older friends is that it's not the size of your nest egg or how many vacation spot one goes to, but it's about having family and friends that love me, and that would be a definition of a life well lived. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have all dealt with people that retire, and some know what they want to do and do it, and some don't know what they want to do. And then they become – sometimes they become a little bit of a burden on the family because they're always ready to do this and very put off if they can't do that.
Well, so, I think another side of that point that was made there, that's the point of saying that – you know, what's more important in life, you know, family and friends, or, you know, the job and the paycheck. But I think another piece of that same kind of philosophy is the fact that do I live within my means? Because I've met people who are literally millionaires who are in debt and can't pay their next bill. I was just talking to someone the other day who runs a daycare or a after school program, and they were told that this one family couldn't afford to send their son to summer camp, and meanwhile, you know, they drive a Mercedes-Benz brand new one, and it's like, well, how can they not afford summer camp? It can't be that darn expensive. But, you know, you just live outside of your means no matter how much money you make. But then I've met federal employees who are GS-9s, GS-11s, kind of middle of the road pay area, yet they've got $1 million in their thrift. They've managed their money well. They've understood what it means to save and invest. And more importantly, they've understood, you know, how to limit their spending to what they can afford.
You know, one of my sons is always quoting Orson Welles and Citizen Kane. You know, many say it's the best movie ever made, the life story of a fabulously wealthy publisher. And and at the end of his life, he says, you know, if I hadn't had so much money, I might have been a great man.
Yeah.
And that's very heavy.
Well, with that, I think it's time to take a break and listen to what NITP can do for the listeners.
Who do you trust when making your most important decisions? National Institute of Transition Planning has been the trusted source for federal retirement planning, serving new, mid-career, and pre-retirement federal employees for more than 30 years. NITP's subject matter experts bring more than 800 years of collective expertise on federal benefits, financial transition, and estate planning. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com to sign up for their free monthly newsletter and information about free webinars.
Does planning for retirement seem like a daunting task? Is retirement years away? It will arrive sooner than you think. Prepare now to stay on track. Join the thousands of federal employees and retirees who have already attended National Institute of Transition Planning's free monthly webinars to learn more about retirement and financial planning. NITP is the national leader and trusted source for federal retirement information. Visit NITPinc.com to sign up for NITP's free monthly newsletter and webinar.
All righty, we're heading into the final quarter of the show. How about this? If you were to look at the folks that contact you and put them into a category of newly hired feds, mid-career and late-career, what would you provide them if they didn't know guidance? Let's say at the beginning of the career, what should they look forward to doing with regards to their benefits?
All I know about that is I have a column in front of me written by one Tammy Flanagan, who was in government executive a couple of weeks ago or a week ago. And in it, she has these crucial dates. And I obviously let her explain what they are. But yeah, every 5 years, you should do certain checks. At age 45 to 55, you should do certain things. At 50, you should do certain things. And I suspect, because I'm thinking back to the younger me, how I would have taken that when I was 21 or 22. Probably not. I probably wouldn't have paid any attention to it, but it can be critical, can't it, Tammy?
Yeah, absolutely. And I admire the young folks who do come out when we do a, you know, we don't do them very often because you can't get people to come. But if you do a new employee class where everybody in the class has 5 years of service or less than 5 years, they're just getting started. And boy, isn't that the best time to reach them? Because now you can really impress upon them, you know, what the benefits of staying in a federal service is. What if you leave government? What do you leave behind? So I love those classes, and I really admire the people who take them and take that information to heart. But at every stage of your career, like Bob was saying, mid-career, pre-retirement, new employee, I teach from the same book. You know, the benefits material is no different whether you're brand new, whether you're ready to walk out the door, but I approach it differently with that class. Like if you have new employees, you're really talking about here's the basics of your benefit. Here's why it's important to save. Here's why Social Security is not going to totally go broke, but why you still shouldn't depend on it to finance your retirement. Here's the unique part of your federal career, which is a pension. You know, who today has a pension? And then with the mid-career folks, it's all about the what ifs. You know, what if I leave the government early? What if I became disabled? What if I die? What if I stay long enough to retire? So we really cover all those what if situations and make sure that we can play those out, because life has a habit of taking twists and turns, you know, whether it's a divorce, a death, a move, you know, all kinds of things. And then the pre-retirement, of course, that's where it all started with NITP and with everything that Bob and I, and even what Mike, what you write about, is the people who are preparing for that big transition in life from becoming an annuitant, is what they're called once you retire, and leaving employment and that big life event that we call retirement. And there's a lot there that you have to know. And like Mike was pointing out, you know, you don't want to wait till 2 months before you go to find out you need 5 years of life insurance, or that you would benefit from saving up your leave, or how that sick leave credit works towards your retirement. So there's so much that we cover in a pre-retirement class that sometimes that's the class that we could really take 5 full days and still have more to talk about. So I love talking to every stage of the career, because there's always something that person needs to hear.
You know, I have two friends, and I've known them for years now, and they're both self-made millionaires. I mean, several times over. Both, one is a builder, one is a tool maker, but they did it the hard way. They made a lot of money. They had a number of employees, you know, 100 in one case and 60 in another. Wow. And they would, they offered a 401k and hardly anybody took it. And they gave them a 5% match, which is unheard of in the private sector. None of them took it. And these various things. And I think about this, the difference in the private sector and in the government. The government, although a lot of people don't like to hear that the government does anything right, but the government is pretty good about moving people along in their careers, and especially if they get near retirement. But I think they would keep a better class of employee if they started these programs, as Tammy said, right as the day you enter, and let these young people know what a good deal this is and what you're looking at down the road. And I think many of them would stay in the government, and of course they'd be happier campers in the process.
Yeah.
I remember
nothing's perfect, but yeah. I agree with what you said.
My dad was a federal employee, very proud of it, and he had a great job and the like. And he said to me, "Why don't you go to work for the government?" And I said, "With my grades, I'd probably be a GS-3 or a 4, but you know, if I go to the private industry, I can do this, that, or another thing, and I'll probably make a little bit more, but then I can save it," which, of course, I didn't do.
Yeah.
And it worked out, and I'm not so sure that it probably will work out just as well with regards if I go on into the feds. But now looking at them, for however many years have we been doing this, Mike and Tammy, longer than we care to remember, I was able to say things like that in the class, assuming the class would want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they don't want to hear it. You know, who's this guy preaching to me how I should live my life just to get more money and retirement?
Mm-hmm. Just to be happy.
But they're all fun, and they all have different personalities.
Yep.
So Here's a question that came in. Can you afford to be retired at age 99? You should look forward to being alive at 99.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you should plan on that. I think, you know, the old philosophy was to plan your retirement around living to 85. But when you look at the population growth of our country, of the world for that matter, you know, with technology and medical advances, just to give you an idea, I was looking at this profile of older Americans that was done recently, and it said that in 2018, people over 85 were numbering 6.5 million people. And by 2040, which is less than 20 years from now, that number will more than double to 14.4 million people over age 85. And that means still alive. So it's just incredible to see the population numbers and how people are living longer. I don't know that that necessarily means we're going to live healthy lives all the way till we're 100, but we do have to prepare for being able to stay independent, whether it's long-term care planning to stay physically independent or financial planning to stay financially independent. But I really think that's a big risk when we talk about the risks of retirement planning.
You know, that's a really good point, because people are certainly living longer. Population of new children is coming on is dropping. So this is going to create some problems down the road. But with the long-term care insurance industry, they discovered that they had no idea people would be living as long as they would be living. And the fact is that many of them are not living better. So they're staying around, but they're not healthy, and they're using long-term care insurance. And that's why these premiums keep going up. So it's a very interesting, and it's a double-edged problem.
Mm-hmm. All righty, we're going into the closing minutes. So if we were looking at this and we were talking to somebody and they're thinking about retiring sooner rather than later, what would we say to that person? Now, let me just say it, because I'm kind of on the outside looking in here. The longer that you work, the greater your annuity is going to be.
Yeah.
Nice benefits. You can change. I think you can change jobs. It's easy for me to say that. I don't think you mm-hmm. walk in one morning and say, "I want to go over to this agency because I'm tired of that." But over the years, I've found the federal employee is probably much better at retaining dollars, so that when they retire, they're better off. They have this great annuity, but they're not necessarily spenders like you find in private industry. Maybe that's overarching, but that's just my gut.
That may well be true. Again, because of the retirement, the contribution they make that the people in the private sector don't, they are oftentimes used to living on smaller salaries in some cases. But at the end of the line, there is this benefit package that's wonderful. And by then, they're accustomed to, hopefully, in most cases, living within their means.
Yeah, going back to your question, Bob, about what would you say to somebody who is thinking about retirement? And it's funny, because some people, you look at everything that they've done, everything they have in their retirement, and you're like, man, why didn't you retire 5 years ago? I mean, you're certainly financially good to go. You know, there's no problem. And then there's other folks who you'll look at everything as a whole and say, oh my goodness, please don't retire just yet, because, you know, how are you going to pay your bills, because you're not going to have enough income? So I think there's this uncertainty or this lack of knowledge as far as how to put those pieces together to figure out how much income am I really going to have, how much taxes will I really have to pay, and how much is it going to cost me to have Medicare and my health insurance and all the other benefits that I want to keep in retirement. So I think if you feel like you don't understand how to put that together, you've got to continue to educate yourself, because once you understand these pieces, they're really not difficult. It's not rocket science, because if it was, I wouldn't be doing it. But it's it does take a little bit of planning. You got to plan ahead. You got to ask questions. You know, they always say the smartest person is the one who asks the most questions. And I think that's definitely true. And I never discourage questions when I teach a class, because I feel like that's how people learn. One last thing I wanted to mention was that statistics in that publication I was quoting from before is from HHS, Health and Human Services, the Administration for Community Living. Really nice publication. It really overviews our aging America.
I've got a really great guest, if I could plug it, this coming Wednesday. It's Tammy Flanagan, and we're going to be going over a lot of these points and, you know, drill down, but these not only the magic dates, but the magic years, when you should say, okay, it's been 5 years, I need to do another check on this, and here's why. And it's there are certain ages, certain birthdays, certain anniversaries, then when you should do a reality check. And so we're going to get into that.
So when day is this and what time?
It will be this coming Wednesday at 10 a.m. It's the it's called Your Turn with Mike Causey.
And that's on each week, I think, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is.
Yeah, I've heard of her. Yeah. Somewhere. I don't know where.
All right. We have a closing. What do we got? 4 minutes? 2 minutes. Whoa. Well, I guess that's going to be quick. Final comments. Mike?
Well, I think, I mean, a lot of this is attitude. Maybe you're born with it. But if you can be relatively content with your job, if you can have some sort of a plan about retirement, don't worry too much about recouping a few bucks here and there, and don't worry about, quote, losing money if you don't collect on your long-term care insurance premiums, or if you don't collect on certain insurances. Don't feel gypped that you didn't get into this.
Yep. And I'd say just add to that, just like the old Boy Scout motto, be prepared. You know, you can do what you can to prepare. You can't anticipate everything that's going to happen, but, you know, the more you prepare, the more questions you ask, the better you're going to have that experience of that transition.
Tammy, I messed up. How does somebody contact you?
Oh, retirefederal.com.
All right. Do that slow. Retirefederal.com. Okay. And Mike?
M. Causey at federalnewsnetwork.com.
Causey,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Thank you both. Great show. I took a lot of notes, and we should do it again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP and sponsored by WAPA. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. This show can also be heard on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search For Your Benefit. Thanks for listening.